From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're happy to welcome you to today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelsch inviting you to stay with us for a message from the Holy Scriptures, some sacred music that will honor the Lord and encourage your heart, and the hot topic of the day. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message dealing with Christ walking on the water, as recorded in Matthew chapter 14. Although the account teaches us some things about the followers of Christ, it reveals far more about our Lord Himself. Before coming to the Scriptures, Dr. Cairns stresses another important truth in our hot topic for the day. Salvation is by faith alone, not by works.
How may sinners receive the grace of God for their eternal salvation? That is a vitally important question, so important that we cannot afford to be wrong on this matter. As I pointed out yesterday in describing the five solas of the Protestant Reformation, the Church of Rome teaches that human merit plays an essential role in receiving salvation. Of course, Rome asserts that she proclaims salvation by grace, but not by grace alone. And she asserts that she proclaims justification by faith, but not by faith alone. According to Rome, when a child is baptized, God in grace infuses justifying righteousness. And over his lifetime, this justified person may increase his justification by his good works, or, of course, he may decrease his justification, even to the point of losing it altogether, by his lack of good works. No matter how you look at it, Rome's gospel comes down to this. You get what you work for, and you receive the grace of final salvation, not by faith alone in what Christ has done for you, but on the ground of your own performance. Over against all this, the Apostle Paul emphatically stated, Romans 3, verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." It's interesting that when the Council of Trent delivered Rome's official teaching on justification, it placed its anathema, its curse, on anyone who taught what the inspired apostle here teaches. That shows just how far removed from Scripture Rome and her official teaching are. I say are because though the Council of Trent met in the 16th century, its teaching is still the official position of the Church of Rome. Indeed, in the intervening centuries, no Vatican Council, including the Second Vatican Council set up almost half a century ago, has ever again sought to define Rome's dogma of justification, Trent's definition being accepted as their final word on the subject. We must be clear on two things. First, as soon as you introduce works into the way of salvation, you destroy it and leave sinners without hope. There's no perfection in anything that any of us can perform, and since we need a perfect righteousness to be acceptable to God, we have no hope of acceptance while we trust in our works. As we noted yesterday, to make human merit the ground of receiving divine grace is to destroy the entire idea of grace. For, as Paul argues in Romans 4, if we work for something, it's no longer a matter of grace, but of reward. That's Rome's great heresy. It makes salvation a matter of reward. That is blasphemous against God, and it's disastrous to the souls of men. The second thing we must stress is that the truth of justification through faith alone in the merits of Christ alone is the only true foundation for good works in a believer. Faith is the root, and good works are the fruit. Our works are not the reason for God saving us. They are the proof that he has done so. Thus, Protestants have often said that while we're not saved by good works, we will not be saved without them. Justifying faith produces good works, for as Paul said, faith worketh by love, and again, love is the fulfilling of the law. There is, however, a world of difference between saying, because God has saved us by free grace, received by faith without any works of our own, we now do good works out of love for him, and because we do good works, God saves us. To say there's a world of difference between those two statements. The latter one is essentially Rome's gospel. Because we do good works, God saves us. Let us never slacken our grip on justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ alone. This alone is the good news of the gospel of God.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today. And we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
These disciples, thinking they saw a spirit, cried out. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." I want you to see this very carefully. You're in the storm. You think you're going to see the devil. But the one that's waiting for you, it's not the devil, it is your Savior. That's what he's saying. I'm here. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'm here. Be of good cheer and don't be afraid. That simple word, what a voice. The hymn writer in the hymn we were singing this morning tried to use a little poetry to describe the beauty of that voice. But no human words can ever adequately describe both the beauty, the music, and yet the mighty power, the authority of the voice of the Lord Jesus. Revelation 1 speaks of it as the voice of many waters, to bring cheer and comfort amid the storm. And then Jesus entered the ship. And if the disciples had known the chorus that we learned as kids, I have no doubt they'd have sung it. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Because when Jesus got in, the storm came under control and they reached their intended destination. Now I want you to get this. I want you to understand the significance of this. Jesus had sent them out on that journey. Right? They ran into a storm. It appeared they were not going to make it. But I want to tell you, when Jesus sends you on a journey, you will certainly reach the destination. In Luke chapter 8, you will read of another incident. He said, "Arise and let us go to the other side." And once again, the storm appeared to stand in their way. And on that occasion, they said, "Lord, you're sleeping, waking up, we're perishing." But stop and think of it. Has not Jesus said the same to you and me? Let's arise and go to the other side. We're on a journey to where? Well, first to the place of service, but ultimately we're on a journey to glory. The storms of life come against you. The advances of hell would seek to stop your progress. But Jesus says, we're going to the other side. And we will reach our desired haven. Now that's the record. And I have taken all my time in that so that I'll not really have opportunity to deal with the significance of this miracle to you and me as well as to the disciples. I'll ask you as you go home to think of this, however, and I trust you will think of this, because the more I have pondered this miracle, the more I realize its wide-ranging significance. You've got the whole history of Christ and His church, both in its individual members and in its corporate identity. You've got the history of Christ and His church in this picture. They're out there in the sea. They're doing the will of God. Their Savior's up on the mountain. He's praying while they labor. They're faced with all sorts of opposition. Human strength cannot avail to do the work that Christ has sent them to do. What do they need? They need the visitation of the Savior in His almighty power. There's the picture of the church. There's the picture of the individual Christian. And I want you to go from this house today with this confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and He can do anything He wills to do. Anything He wills to do. But I want you to take this: He loves us, and He will do what it takes to fulfill His will in us and to carry us safely through. But we do have to face something about ourselves here. I've said all this about Christ. You'd think after all the disciples had learned about the Lord Jesus that they'd recognize Him a mile away. But they didn't. You'd think after all the experience you and I have had in the Christian life, the number of times we've been down in the depths and He's come and lifted us up, the number of times we have misread our circumstances, the number of times we have jumped to different and wrong conclusions, the number of times we have allowed affliction to embitter our souls, all these things, and again and again and again the Lord Jesus has come and He's proved Himself to us. You would think by now, when we get into affliction and the Lord Jesus is going to show Himself, that we would now be prepared for it, but we're not. The one thing you find here is that so often the Lord Jesus is the unrecognized Christ. Even when He comes to do His people good. And can you see here, we torment ourselves that this is the devil afflicting us. When all the time it is our Savior drawing near. That's what they were doing. It's a spirit. It's a devil. It's something hurtful. It's something terrible. No, no, no. It is I. It is I. Oh, that you would take these words with you today. I don't know the storms that are going to come across your life this week or this month or this year. But if you belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to you, if you are washed in His precious blood and you are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Him, if your trust is in Christ, then simply obey Him And if the path of obedience brings you into storms, trust Him. He's got them under His feet. Do you remember the word of Nahum? The clouds are the dust of His feet. And when you find the sun obscured, and the wind whipping up, remember it's only an indication that the Lord is moving. This is the truth. So even when you can't understand why He places you in a stormy affliction, remember He's protecting you, as He was the disciples, sometimes from greater danger, but He's protecting you in order to show you Himself. There's a lovely truth in this passage that I want to remember, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I see the disciples on the sea, miles away. I see the Savior on the mountain. They couldn't see Him. They could not see Him. But He could see them. So often we get perplexed at our dim view of the Savior, when we get into all sorts of troubles. I can't see His face. I can't hear His voice. I can't trace His hand. Remember, He's interceding. And He always has us in sight and in mind. Can you take this with you today? I don't care what our trouble is if we're saved. There is not a place and there's not a moment when our Savior has us out of sight and out of mind. But He's praying for us. And those prayers succeed. He'll come. Now, I don't like suffering any more than you do. And I'm not speaking this from some lofty peak that I have surpassed human experience. No, no, we all go through the same sufferings. And we all have the same emotional reactions, and we fall into the same distresses of soul. But remember, He'll come at the right time, at the best time. He'll show Himself, and He'll enable us to do the impossible, as He did Peter, in order that we may glorify Him. So there's a lot to learn here, mostly about our Lord. We have been slow, but thank God He is gracious. I trust today that as we come to the end of this study, we will first want to emulate our Savior in the labor of prayer, because that will precede the enjoyment of power. With our hearts open to the needs of the toiling work of God, we will really get to do business at the throne of grace. And then, let's obey Him completely. Let's obey Him. I don't know what that's going to involve. When God saved me, I didn't know where He was going to lead me. When God called me into the ministry, I had no idea what it was going to entail. It worked out a whole lot differently from any way ever I could have envisaged. But you see, it's not my job to foresee or oversee. It's my job to obey. I trust you'll get this. And if we can leave this place today with this triple emphasis, be like Christ in prayer, obey Christ whatever the cost, keep Him before you and obey Him, And then in the deepest afflictions that arise in the course of obedience, trust Him to come and make Himself known. If we can go out with that triple emphasis, then this study will have done everything that I ever envisaged or wanted God to do through it. I pray He'll do it in my heart. And I pray He'll do it in yours.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.